3 people signed up to speak at the public hearing, and if there are any more people, they can please sign up before we get too far along. What I want to do, though, is to start with an overview from the county administrator to really kind of frame the situation so that we can take this opportunity while there are people here to really educate the public as much as possible in terms of what's going on in the county, what our challenges have been, what we hope to be offering as opportunities, and then, of course, we want to hear from the public. So my goal tonight is to go till around 8 o'clock, and then at that point we'll break. And my expectation is that we start again at 9 o'clock in the morning talking about the flu emergency situation, but wrap up the budget by around noon or so. So that's kind of in talking with people and what the issues are that I hear that what people want to talk about, that's kind of the time frame that I think that we can accomplish things in. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Steve O'Malley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board, members of the public that are in attendance or watching on cable later on. I want to take this opportunity, we only get this opportunity once a year, to kind of give an overview of our entire organization, our annual budget, and also comparative data that actually shines some of the positive light on the accomplishments that La Crosse County has achieved. For those of you that are in attendance, I've got copies of the handouts that the board members have in your packet. I'm going to ask for your patience because it will take about 15 minutes to go through this information. I'll try to go as quickly as I can. You can refer to the handouts that are there. But before I get started on the budget, I do think that the board deserves to know that the team of department heads and managers and employees in this organization are second to none. The only way that we're able to accomplish what we accomplish with the budgets and the parameters and difficulties that we have are because the department heads and the managers, and particularly the finance department staff, are willing to step up and help us find ways to make this work with, again, controlling operating costs at roughly a 0% increase, cutting back on every place that we can, that we're able to actually provide you a budget that, if you're able to adopt it with the amendments that are before you, will be the lowest increase in the past 10 years. I think we've stepped up and tried to do the best job we can and give you those opportunities for choices, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out that I do not do this on my own. Department heads are the ones that make this budget actually work, and I really appreciate the work that they do, and I've shared that with them at the department head meeting. It would be very easy for them to not live within the tight parameters that we set, and they step up to the challenge and make sure that this budget works for you and for our community. With that in mind, I want to just talk about very quickly that we continue to have major challenges in 2010 and 2011, a 3% levy limit while costs escalate much faster, state revenue cuts with no relief on mandated services, low investment interest, no growth in sales tax revenue, a wage settlement pattern that's already set for 2010 that gives us obligations to live up to, though we have no clarity for 2011 given future challenges, a slowing tax base growth that may result in a tax rate freeze that I've talked about. Highway needs are expanding with no new revenue identified, yet over $25 million or almost $25 million of unmet road needs that we've identified. Mississippi Valley Health Services is providing part of our solution, but it will not be enough at this point to meet all of Lakeview's challenges. The Mental Health Crisis Center is a major variable, and further cuts in human services funding will necessarily decrease services if the state and federal government do that in the next biennium and towards the end. And finally, the stimulus funding that provided significant funding to the state that allowed them to not cut us further is likely to impact us negatively in 2011 and beyond. The additional challenge, of course, is that debt service for the law enforcement center puts a significant restriction on our ability to raise taxes for debt service, and we have a deep responsibility to make sure that we don't let that go over the projected amount of debt service that we already have projected for the law enforcement center. I've used this graph before, and you see that in 2010 we have the first bump up for a law enforcement center debt service, and then in 2011 it will basically level out within $100,000 over the next 4 years until that blue bar goes away, which is paying off the law enforcement center, the first edition, the 1997 edition. We will be very restrained on our ability to utilize debt, and that puts a significant challenge on us, and we have that responsibility in these difficult economic times to live within those parameters that we've already committed for ourselves. Included, and this is not in your handout, but I recognize that I didn't include a pie chart on your gross expenditures. Most folks know that don't realize that we have a $133 million budget, and the vast majority of that is not paid for by local property taxes. This gives you a basic distribution of all of the services we provide, just in a brief summary. I won't walk through that in detail, but the actual tax levy, and is refigured based on the alternative budget, is 28.9%. Or $28.9 million, that's 22% of your gross budget is paid for by property taxes. The largest share of the services that are provided to this community through the county are provided through federal and state revenue and other fees and charges. I've touched on before, and I think we've got a great story to tell, that La Crosse County property taxes are among the lowest in the state for the county portion of taxes, compared with all 72 counties, and the detail is in the handouts that I've provided you, as well as more additional charts. We are 68th out of 72, or the fifth lowest county tax levy for all 72 counties. And when you compare us to our comparable counties, the counties closest to us in population, we have the second lowest total property tax levy. In fact, the average for other counties of our size is 42% higher. If you lived in another county of similar size, the total county levy would be almost $12 million higher. Now, last time I presented some of this information, people wanted to talk in more detail about the sales tax impact. The sales tax and use of that data, that information, is a positive impact on our levy. It actually benefits the public, but it doesn't change our ranking all that much. And the detail is provided, again, in the packet. If all 72 Wisconsin counties, because there are nine that do not use the sales tax, if all of them, and we can get the information from Department of Revenue, were to apply the sales tax, our ranking would only go up to 65th. In addition to that, if all of the counties, none of them used sales tax, our ranking would only go up to 62nd out of all 72 counties. The fact is that the use of the sales tax helps us control property taxes, but our overall spending and ranking is already much lower. That's not to downplay the concept that we are a regional center and we benefit from the fact that we're on the border of two states. We serve as a regional retail center, and it does help benefit us. Again, the detail is included in your handout. It's actually in the blue or slightly purple sheet. Each one of these details, as well as more, is included, and if anyone would like the detailed spreadsheets, I can obviously provide that as well. The fact is that while our volume of sales tax does help us control property tax, our overall ranking is quite low because we've got a strong history for a long time of low tax levy spending compared to our peers. We also have independent recognition of fiscal restraint, financial strength, and reporting excellence. And the most recent comparative analysis done by the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance that I shared with you last year, a snapshot of county finances, indicates that for the period studied, La Crosse County spending rose at an average of one-third the average rate of increase in all Wisconsin counties per capita. That's independent research not done by your staff. In 2009, the county's AA2 bond rating was again confirmed by Moody's when we continued with the debt service issues for the new law enforcement center, and we recognize that our reserves and financial planning indicate financial strength in tough times. Only six Wisconsin counties have a higher rating than La Crosse County. And finally, our finance department received the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting by the GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association, for the fourth year in a row, the highest recognition available to a government finance agency, and we will be recognizing the finance department next month when we actually receive that award in hand. I would be remiss if I didn't point out many of the achievements that we have, and I could spend a great deal of time, and I won't, on each one of these, but we lead the state, and certainly in some areas, as you heard from the Urban Institute, the nation, in innovation and collaboration. This has been set at the highest level by you as a county board, making it a policy priority that we don't just do collaboration because it's nice to do, it's the way we do business, it's the way we hold ourselves to a higher standard. From Mississippi Valley Health Services Commission, which is you read in the Sunday paper, is the first of its kind in the state of Wisconsin, I believe in the nation, to the recently formed Sustainable La Crosse Commission that represents local government and community throughout La Crosse County, the EMS Commission that has recently been formed, the Crisis Assessment Center that pulls together collaboration across this entire community to provide better services and control costs on the long term. Initial formation of the La Crosse Area Diversity Council, a long-term office lease with state probation and parole so that they can meet the community needs and the needs of inmates and clients' families much better than they can in separate facilities. All of the criminal justice innovations from jail to community to bringing in the National Community Health Commission to look at our jail medical and provide mental health enhancements, city-county school collaboration that's talking about challenging trends and solutions throughout this community, including place-based scholarship programs and other types of ideas, as well as the county leading continually on economic development. Again, I could spend a great deal of time, and I won't in deference to the public who may want to comment, but I want to have this opportunity to share with you, and you've got the details in your packet, in a very quick summary on each one of those items, and I obviously will provide you any more detail on that. But we are second to none, I think, in the state on leading on collaboration, leading on innovation, and expecting more out of ourselves, even in tight economic times. Last but not least, on our accomplishments, I thought it was very interesting. I had not recognized this until the La Crosse Tribune had actually pointed out that we achieved almost 50% of our board being women representatives. So I think it's not coincidental that one of the reasons we are one of the most innovative counties is I think we're more closely representative of the population in this community. So I did a little bit of extra research a couple of evenings on my own. With 17 women on the La Crosse County Board, we have the most female members of any county board in the state of Wisconsin by far. The next closest is Dane County, 11 out of their 37. Only Menominee County, I thought we'd have the number one position on percentage. They have 5 out of their 9, but they're a much smaller county. Otherwise, we have the highest percentage as well. And given my history, having been elected to the county board when I was 19 in Eau Claire County, I kind of wanted to see what how we might compare. I couldn't get census data from every county, but just my empirical study of other county boards around the state, I believe we have likely one of the youngest county boards at an average age of 57. Unfortunately, you guys are able to show us your data in our personnel information. I couldn't get that from all the other counties, so I'm speculating, but I think it's true.
So are you denigrating those older members of the county board?
No, because I'm approaching that average age very quickly. So, I still think that 57.7 is younger than most of the county board members I've met around the state.
I'm just trying to keep you off of thin ice here.
I'm skating as fast as I can.
Pardon?
Yeah. So, to the 2010 budget, based on that history, based on those accomplishments, based on that the challenges that we have, the opportunity that we presented to you was based on a number of ideas. The federal government has allocated one-time, very low-cost bonding authority stimulus funding of $1.6 million. We've presented this to the county board at a couple of meetings, as well as the executive committee. If you proceed to go with the amendments that are before you, we would borrow that $1.6 million and use stimulus dollars to help actually lower the amount of taxing increase for 2010. We would be able to borrow that money at approximately a 2% or less interest rate for the 5 years. We would use our strong financial position of our highway fund balance, which is in the strongest position it's been at for many years, for about 6 or 7 years, to actually service that debt without raising taxes to make those payments, and that would give us some breathing room as we're also paying new payments on the debt service for the law enforcement center. And then each year we would need to reevaluate as we're paying off the law enforcement center debt, the 1997 debt, evaluate the level of roads that we can accomplish, the level of road maintenance and construction, and come up with a long-term debt strategy as we get through these next 5 years that we're servicing the debt for the 1997 law enforcement center and the new debt. Once that pays off, we will gain in 2 years in a row over $1 million worth of debt service room to be able to pay for additional roads. So I appreciate your support and consideration of that amendment. That's an opportunity. That 2010 budget alternative then uses these opportunities to take the $1.6 million in bonding authority plus preserves $500,000 of the old landfill funds for the 2011 roads. Secondly, it reduces the operating levy under the budget alternative to a 0% increase in operating levy, the lowest increase we've had in operating levy again in the past 10 years. The only increase of 2.6% is instead of the original proposal is due to the scheduled increase for LEC debt service. I was talking with one of the supervisors earlier. It would not be good to postpone that debt service. We need to start ratcheting up those payments so that we get to that level, so that I believe within a margin of a small few edits, that's about as low as you're going to be able to get, given the commitments you've already made as an organization and that we've made as a county for the law enforcement center. This would lower the highway direct levy by $1.1 million. It would provide a Lakeview levy a little bit closer to what the true amount of costs are as we work with Mississippi Valley Health Services to address long-term viability. And we would then, again, each year review borrowing strategy for highway and other capital needs as we're still buying down the law enforcement center debt. The actual increase then total would, instead of going from 28.21 up by 5%, it would go to $28.9 million. The total amount of increase would be approximately $750,000. This detail is provided in your handout, and I won't walk through each line of that because I expect we may get into some of that discussion later on. Again, over the last 10 years, these are the percentage increases, not adjusted for inflation, not adjusted for value, but the actual percentage increases in levy over the last 10 years. If you're able to adopt and approve the budget alternative that's recommended by the executive committee, this would be the lowest increase in the past 10 years. Finally, the mill rate would basically level out, even though equalized value is not escalating at the same rates that it had in previous years. This would allow us to have basically a flat change in rate and have as minimal an impact on the property taxpayers as we're able to manage given the commitments we've made. So in conclusion, I believe this is my next to last slide. The best estimate we've been able to provide is that on an average home of approximately $150,000 value, if you adopt the budget alternative for the county portion of property taxes, which is all we're responsible for, would see about a $7.50 increase for that average home or less. So the last slide talks about that the summary overview of the 2010 alternative budget preserves most services throughout the organization, holds the line at the lowest increase. Gross expenditures would actually increase by about 2.4%, while gross revenues for other service sources other than property taxes are actually slightly down. Tax levy increase of 2.6%, and the tax rate would go up by one penny. Thank you very much.
Anybody have any questions for Steve? Okay, that gets us into the next step, which is the public hearing, and I want to thank people for coming to share your thoughts with us this evening. I want to take just a moment to talk about what's going to happen. We have only very few people signed up to speak. If people are here and want to speak but haven't signed up yet, please go out in the hall and sign up so that we can get your name on the list here. Because we don't have a large number of people speaking, I don't want to have too narrow of a time frame, so I'd ask that the speakers keep their comments within maybe 5 or 10 minutes, if you would, please. When we are done with the public hearing, then we are going to go into other parts of our agenda. The budget itself, the actual budget, really will be tomorrow. Tonight, we're going to be talking about some of the collateral issues, things like health insurance and fees and charges and so forth that really kind of lead up to the budget. But the budget itself then will be starting tomorrow morning. I guess that gets us to the point where I'm going to call on our first speaker, ask you to come up to the podium there and start out with your name and your address. And then give us your thoughts with regard to the budget or specific issues. And the first person I have on the list is Dave Drews. And by the way, this is a public hearing. This is not a debate. So regardless of what people have to say, we're not going to be doing a back and forth. We're going to listen to their thoughts, and then we'll have our discussion tomorrow. Mr. Drews.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for allowing public input. I did not get here in time to hear the previous speaker. I don't know how long he talked or all the things he talked about, but I did hear some comments either from you and from him that disturbed me considerably. The comments were made about Amos being a part of some group, and they are a very dangerous organization. I'd suggest you run from them rather than be a part of them. They are a direct part of ACORN. So be careful. Be very careful what you do with Amos. That is not a good organization.
Try to stay on the budget, Mr. Drews.
Very well. All right. The justice sanctions is what my choice of looking at here. And I find that justice sanction program is a failure. Let me say that again. Justice sanctions program is a failure. This morning, the jail was filled with 28 female inmates. The fabricated numbers of saved jail bed days is that a fabrication. How can that possibly be a program of success if you've got the female jail this late in the game totally filled? Now, to avoid the contention that today's numbers might be a spike, you need to know that the average female population in the jail for October was 22. Not only that, but as the population of a particular week is high, that tends to bring the average population up too. So I would suggest that probably November will be higher than 22. The last published number that I know of that was for the new jail was for 5 female cells. What is going on? You people must not be investigating justice sanctions at all to not recognize this is an impossible situation. That's a mystery that certainly doesn't bear an easy explanation. The staff for justice sanctions here is about 20, the last I heard. That's probably increased since that time. At an average cost for employee and office space, the cost is in the order of $1.5 million. They're spending an enormous amount of money to move this group to the new jail, which should be reserved for female space, female jail space. We had a program where we invited the head of the program from Wausau here, of that same type of thing, and the results from that program are not out of line. It's run in a much more efficient manner. She has 2 people in her department. Wow. If their results are not out of line, something's screwy. By the way, Mr. O'Malley asked to attend, but still hasn't paid the $15 that he asked to attend, but everybody else paid the $15 except Mr. O'Malley. Further, outside... No, the charge was $15 if you did not eat. Let's be very clear. I made that very clear to you before you came. Further, outside housing for women in the program appears to be a failure as well, as the facility and supervision are totally inadequate. There needs to be a professional group in charge of this or some other facility. Recidivism numbers are not available from this group, but it appears to be a bit or worse of any other program. Why aren't these numbers published? I suspect that it's because they're not very good. The feminists are pushing the idea there are no inherent differences between men and women. Yet, this program suggests there are differences between men and women. Make up your mind. I asked Ms. Claycamp about this, and she said, yes, there were differences, and this program takes that into account. I don't know why we should be treating men and women differently if they're inherently the same. That's a difference to me, too. Now, there's no difference, as the feminists would proclaim. I would tend to agree there is a difference between men and women, but at any rate, it's a very costly, expensive program. It does not show any particular results that are any better than any place else. It's time to cut the losses and get back to doing things the way others do with the same results. Remember, there are 28 inmates, female inmates, in the jail this morning, November 9th, 2009. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Drews. The next person that we have on the list is Steve Gores.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. I had a question about procedure here. What if you have just point of information questions about the budget? How would they be handled? Or am I only allowed to make statements?
You mean if you have particular questions?
Yeah, I have
questions?
A couple questions about the budget.
You could address them to Mr. O'Malley.
Okay. Now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, question number one is I understand there was a decrease for county supervisors' contribution for health care benefits. Could you describe that percentage decrease of their contribution, what it means?
Actually, this is an item that the board will be debating, and it's currently in discussion and debate. There's a proposal by the executive committee. I'm trying to get to the actual page. Changes the method that the board would actually qualify to use health insurance. The change would be from currently the practice is that board members pay for 40% of health insurance, whether they take single or family. Under the proposal by the executive committee, supervisors would pay 55% of the single plan, and then if they take the family plan, they would get no more. They would have to pay the entire difference from that 55% for the single plan.
Okay. What happens when this budget's debated tomorrow and it were to be voted down?
If
the board votes no on the budget as proposed. You have a nay vote. What happens?
I assume we would have to keep meeting until we have a budget or the state has some big issues with us.
Okay. So you have a time frame that you have to get it done by.
Yes. Gary, can you explain that time frame?
The Department of Revenue requires that we submit our tax levy to them by mid-November.
Mid-November. Well, we got November 9th now, so you'd have 5 or 6 days to get this done if it were not to succeed tomorrow, is that my understanding? So there'd be a series of emergency meetings, I take it?
Or we could continue the existing
debate until you get something.
Right.
Okay. I guess that's it for now. Oh, one more. Is there currently a pay freeze for county supervisors? Is that part of this?
Yes.
Okay. So what is the current pay for county supervisors, if I could ask? And would the pay freeze extend for just the next term of office, 2 years, or would it until they rescind it? Pay freeze indefinite or just for this next term of office?
Well, we only deal with it every 2 years.
Right.
I mean, we can't bind a future board. We couldn't say, for example, it's frozen for 20 years.
Right. So the board that's elected next year will be subject to the pay freeze?
Correct.
And only that board?
Correct.
Okay. And the supervisory salary?
It's $395 a month or $4,740 for the year.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to nitpick the budget too much. I mean, coming with just a $7.50 increase for a home of $150,000 is not too bad as far as, you know, this taxpayer is concerned. I am going to recommend a no vote on the budget, though, with this increase, because especially the City of La Crosse supervisory people here. As you know, the City of La Crosse has managed to propose a budget with a zero levy increase. Now, Mr. O'Malley has done a wonderful job to get this down in half from what it was before, a $15 increase to $7.50. Why not keep working until you get it down to zero? We are overtaxed in the City of La Crosse, and I understand this is a county budget, but if you raise the county budget levy for city residents, you are raising our taxes here in the city. They are too high already. The mayor of La Crosse is doing something about it. I would like the county board to do something about it and come in with the same parameters, zero levy increase. Owner of a $150,000 home sees a $0 increase in their property tax bill on the county portion. That's a goal to set, and I would really plead with my supervisor, Mr. Menninger, and all the City of La Crosse, especially supervisors, to vote no tomorrow. Go back to the drawing board and get it down to zero. Okay, Steve, well, what would you cut? Well, I would start discussing health care benefits for county supervisors. I don't see the need for them at all. I don't know how much that saves, but I think it's a really insult to people out there struggling to get health care, working three jobs, not getting health care at all, to have part-time elected officials who are really doing a community service being eligible for a very expensive benefit. That should be rescinded in this budget entirely. Back when it was originated, yes, it was a nice little perk. And I don't know how long ago, but it was decades ago when health care wasn't very costly. Now it is horrendously costly. So I would say, as a symbolic thing to the taxpayer, we're not going to take health care benefits for being volunteers in public service. Rescind that. Now I'm going to come up with an old saw, and it's not relevant to this budget, but next year the census is coming out again. And I would like some follow-through on reducing the size of the county board this time and not having those census figures show, you know, a static population and increasing the size of the board and the commensurate costs. This board could be halved with no loss of efficiency whatsoever. And I would look at a proposal, and I know there's a committee that will be looking into this. Please get that done this time around. I know that doesn't affect this budget, but I would like expenses involved, and it should start with you folks. You've done a good job with the pay freeze, but the health care benefits and the size of this board, keep working at it. Your costs. Finally, Mr. Drews mentioned the Justice Sanction Program. We did have a guest speaker at Citizens for Responsible Government who came in and gave a wonderful presentation about privatization of that program. Saved a lot of money in that county. Those recommendations were, I don't know where they went, into the internet, you know, ether. Never heard about it again. And I know there's some supervisors who were at that meeting who thought it was a hell of an idea. Why not pursue that? Milwaukee County is pursuing every avenue possible to privatize county services. Scott Walker comes in with a zero levy increase every single year. Now, he doesn't have a very cooperative supervisory board. They add money. Maybe you're thinking that's a cynical attempt because he knows they're going to add money. The point is, that's what his proposal is. And I'm sure he would be more than glad to sign such a budget. And I would recommend that this board, tomorrow, stay here until they come up with 0% increase for your average taxpayer here in La Crosse. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Gores. The next speaker is Mike Desmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for listening to me tonight. I certainly understand. I'm the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, and I certainly understand the task ahead of you in terms of balancing a budget. No one's suffering harder through these times than nonprofits are. As an aside, Steve, I will invite you to join us with the kids for lunch anytime at no charge. you're always welcome. At any rate, what has happened at the Boys and Girls Club is, even as early as 2 years ago, we received $40,000 as part of the La Crosse County budget. Last year was cut to $15,000, and I think all of you saw the result of that. Sites were closed, hours were cut, and so on and so forth. With the help of some stimulus money and TriQuest, we were able to get the Shoe Home sites back up to 5 days a week. That will have a positive ripple effect on the Huber homes, we hope. But at any rate, the thing that's troubling me is we've been cut completely out of the budget this year, and I'm getting lots of this information from La Crosse County themselves. Research shows that the most dangerous time for youth is between 3 and 5 o'clock. That's when we serve youth primarily. We actually go later than that, but if that's the most dangerous time for youth in this community, it seems like we'd want to invest something in that time. We serve over 500 kids every day, five sites here in La Crosse, and we've reached out now. We have a site in West Salem. We serve Holman 2 days a week, and obviously that becomes more and more difficult. If you add in our athletic programs, that's another 300 kids a day, so that now we're closer to 800 kids a day that are served in this area. And I'm not so worried about the 300, 350 kids who participate in our athletic programs. I'm really worried about the 500 kids that show up at our sites every day. These are high-risk kids, very, very high-risk kids. And I guess the part that's, again, the most troubling is we get referrals from La Crosse County. Just within the last 2 weeks, we had referrals from social services of two kids who were in an abusive home situation, wanted to know if they could come to the club every day after school until they got this home situation straightened out. We get referrals from the criminal justice system, kids who have gotten in trouble. We get calls from the DA's office, will you take this kid into the club? Here's what they've done. They need a positive male role model in their life. Do you have a mentoring program? Do you have this program? Do you have? And the answer is always yes. We don't turn any kid away. We charge $20 for an annual membership, and most of those 500 kids can't pay that $20. But we don't turn anybody away. And so I'd like to conclude, you know, make a plea to you to consider reinstating something into your budget that would help the Boys and Girls Club of Greater La Crosse. I've also been told by people at the La Crosse County, who I consider to be pretty smart, that it makes a lot more sense to invest in youth on the front end, because if you don't, you invest on the back end, and that's the criminal justice system. And that's far more expensive than an investment on the front end at the Boys and Girls Club, where we can get these kids involved in educational programs, leadership programs, healthy lifestyle and choices programs. And I think everybody here would agree that we'd sure hate to see Boys and Girls Club go away in this community. We sure would hate to see where we're closing sites and so on and so forth. But we're also pinched, just like everybody else is. And so, again, I'm not asking for a lot of money. Even a small token to help us run one of our programs, we would be greatly appreciative of. So thank you. I'm willing to answer any questions if you have any, but I appreciate you listening to me.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Those are all the names that Mr. Menninger?
Just before you close the public hearing, Mr. Desmond spoke on behalf of the Boys and Girls Club. I was just curious whether Mr. Gores and Mr. Drews were speaking for themselves or whether they were speaking for an organization, just for the record.
Mr. Drews and Mr. Gores?
I was speaking for myself as a private citizen.
Thank you. Mr. Gores?
I'm speaking for myself because I know Dave Drews wants no part of reducing the size of this board. So that is my opinion. Okay.
All right.
I live at 5416 Marmaduke Road here in La Crosse.
Mr. Geary?
I forgot to ask a question earlier when Steve made that presentation about equalized valuation in the county. How did that pan out this year?
The total equalized value went up 2.3% for taxes payable next year.
All right. Those are all the names that I had on the list for speaking at the public hearing. Are there any other members of the public who are here this evening that would like to address the board with regard to the budget? Any other members of the public like to address the board? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing.